Pioneer explorers Meriwether Lewis and William Clark were commissioned by the then President of the United States of America, Thomas Jefferson, to achieve what centuries of pioneers before them couldn't. They were to find a water route that would connect the Pacific Ocean with the Mississippi River. Nations had searched for that particular route, and whoever discovered it would open up a trade route and would control resources in that area. It is said that whoever achieved it would be like the equivalent of us owning the internet today. Meriwether, in his journals, recalled the challenge that he faced as he tried to traverse all the landscape to discover it. He talked about nervous nights in strange lands, mosquitoes galore, a dark, cold winter, facing grizzly bears, the loss of a companion, and they spent 1 month trying to find their way around an immense waterfall. Here they find themselves at this point, with a short canoe journey ahead, a climb up a hill, and then over the other side of the hill, they'd been told that there was a waterway that helped them to continue their journey. They made the canoe journey, they carted all their kit up to the crest of the hill with their canoes and faced utter disappointment. For what lay ahead of them was not a river, but was the Rocky Mountains. How were they meant to navigate the Rocky Mountains in canoes? As we make our way through life, we have to navigate all sorts of different terrain at different stages of our lives. For some of you listening to this today, you'll be teenagers. You're having to navigate your way through some of the most challenging terrain in life. Trying to make your way through secondary school, trying to deal with adolescence, trying to find your place in social media, all the pressures and expectations that are upon you. Some of you will be navigating at the moment an unexpected change in circumstances. It may be that this last 6 or 7 months has made you be on furlough, or you've lost your job and you face redundancy, or you face a really uncertain future and you're unemployed. And you're trying to traverse through all these different feelings and emotions, and where is God in the midst of all this? Perhaps you face new circumstances because of the loss of a loved one, or you've been through a relationship change and are recently divorced. And again, you're trying to deal with all these things that are going on inside of you. Some of you will have entered a new season of life, gone off to university, entering retirement, and you're navigating that landscape. And as a Christian, you may be asking, who am I now? And what's God's purpose for me here? And even the church itself, the church too faces an unknown future. This season has crystallized the issues we face as a church. I heard one commentator who even declared simply, we've lost the church. Bar a divine intervention from God, we've lost the church. I'm not sure that I agree with him, but what I do know is that we face a significant challenge into our future. Everything's being questioned at the moment in all sorts of different ways. And for the church, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of church does our neighbourhood need now? What kind of gospel do we need as we go into this future? What we can know, no matter what kind of terrain we face, no matter what the landscape looks like in front of us, no matter how uncertain it looks to us, what we can know is that where we are is no surprise to God. He knew that we would find ourselves here, and we can be certain that he knows how he wants us to journey through whatever stage that we're going through in our lives. We were hoping to be doing a church weekend together next weekend, and as Mark and I talked about it, it just isn't going to happen. So we put together this series instead, and we called it Apprentice, Practicing the Way of Jesus. What we were wondering was, as we looked at your church's core values, we thought, well, what would it look like for each of you to try and live those out in your ordinary, everyday lives? Earlier on, hopefully in today's service, you watched your vision video. You may have seen it a number of times before, where the artist, formerly known as Simon Carter, well, actually, he's always been known as Simon Carter, but Simon paints that incredible picture of initially the church building, and then he changes it, and then you see the people, and then over the top of the people, he paints those five key words that you as a church have come to know are what make your story as a church unique. You talk about how you value pioneering, risk-taking, faith, generosity, and bringing blessing. And then right at the end, you have that fantastic phrase, making every moment count. That's who you want to be as a church, and that's who you want to be as disciples. When I thought about that, I thought, well, this series, Apprentice, Practicing the Way of Jesus, I thought, you know, that's what a disciple is. It's somebody who apprentices to Jesus. It's somebody who is learning to live the way of Jesus in their context at this moment. In my own life, I believed in Jesus long before I ever put my trust in him, long before I ever, as it were, apprenticed to him. I remember as a teenager trying to carve my own way through my teenage years. I remember for me and for my friends, for my mates, that a good time, a good night was Friday night, Saturday night, going out to a club somewhere, probably drinking too much, waking up with a headache the next day and saying, aren't we just living the best life? This is great. But was it? Do you know, it's funny, it was in one of those such places. It was in Highfields Holiday Camp in Clacton, of all places, where one night, in the middle of the evening, God's Spirit placed a question in my mind, right in the middle, probably of a Michael Jackson song or something. And he just asked me, what are you doing with your life? Where is it going? Do you know, that moment, I went home that night, and it was then that I made a decision to put my trust in Jesus and to begin an apprenticeship, as it were, with him. When I went into work, first of all, I trained as a bricklayer, and one of the guys I got to work with for a short season was a fantastic bricklayer called Johnny Barrow. He was a master craftsman, and as I laboured for him, I always used to think, I want to be with him and learn what he knows. I want to become like him, and I want to learn to do what he does. That's what an apprentice is. You have to be so careful in life, though, about who it is that you follow. When I was at school, I wanted to be like a guy called, his name was Roger Paradise, a fantastic name for who he was. He was in the sixth form. He was a good-looking guy. He always had girls hanging off his arm, and he always had loads of mates around him. And I thought, that's who I want to be like. I have no idea where my life would have ended up if I'd have actually followed him. He was a cracking guy, but you have to be careful in life who it is you choose to follow. When we apprentice to Jesus, it's about learning to be with him and become like him and do what he does. It's a lifetime apprenticeship. So I ask the question as we're thinking about it today, where do we see your core values in the life of Jesus? And how do we become like him in the way he lives them out? So the first of those is pioneering. Where do we see that pioneering spirit in the life of Jesus? Well, the writer to the Hebrews, who is attempting to try with his letter to rekindle the faith of these certain Christians, he says this about Jesus. In chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. When it comes to your, what comes to your mind when you think of somebody who pioneers? Is it somebody like Christopher Columbus and all the voyages he made across the Atlantic Ocean, or Meriwether Lewis and William Clark that I spoke about earlier, or maybe Jacques Cousteau, who explored and pioneered into what was going on in all those different oceans that he explored, or Amelia Earhart, the lady who just pioneered aviation for women. The Bible says that Jesus was the pioneer of salvation. That he pioneered a way for us to discover who God is and who we are in the light of that. The word means originator or founder or trailblazer. Somebody who finds a way. I said the purpose behind the writer here is to try and rekindle their faith. And maybe as you're listening to this message today, you think, man, I need to have my faith in Jesus rekindled. What does it take for us to have and live out this pioneer spirit? The first thing I think we see in Jesus is somebody who accepted change. A pioneer, a trailblazer, is an agent of change. Well, where do we see that in the life of Jesus? I remember when I first started to get to know who Jesus was, my father-in-law put a book in my hand, and it opened my eyes to a passage in the Bible that became really significant to me early days. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. It's a passage that speaks about how Jesus left heaven to come to earth as a servant in order that we might get to know him. He put this book in my hand by one of his favourite authors, R.T. Kendall. It was a book called Meekness and Majesty. And what R.T. Kendall did was he took the hymn, and if you're as old as me or older, you'll remember that hymn, Meekness and Majesty, and he paralleled it with that passage in Philippians. And one of the things he helped me to understand was that Jesus comes to us as a servant. In fact, what R.T. Kendall said was that the word used of Jesus, as he says that he becomes a servant, is that he became a doulos servant, the lowest form of servants. When Jesus pioneers a way, his way, he shows us really quickly that his way is the way of serving others. We see it best, you remember, in that moment when he and his disciples, his apprentices, are at dinner. And they're waiting to see if the servant will come in and wash their feet. And nobody comes. And their master gets up, puts a towel around his waist, and begins to wash their feet. And they're like, no, no, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus, the master, in that moment, teaches them a significant lesson about who he is and what he's all about. That if you want to be great, it's not about how many people serve you, but how many people you serve. If we're going to have that pioneer spirit, then we've got to be men and women who accept that we've got to change our approach to want to serve others. Behind your vision film that we had earlier on was a song by the band Switchfoot, and it had a line in it that says, I dare you to move. And so as we think about this today, I dare you to move. I dare you to move out of your comfortable life into a life where you live to serve others and help them flourish. I think another thing we see in the life of Jesus as he models this pioneer spirit is that he blazes a trail of boldness. To pioneer is to be brave, to be fearless, to be obedient. Jesus was certainly bold. He risked being misunderstood. He risked his reputation. Again, as an apprentice, as I began to get to know him, I began to learn Jesus had its reputation for eating with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. And sinners were not like we use that term today. Sinners were groups of people that just were kept out, couldn't gain access to the temple, couldn't gain access to the religious system of the day. There was this group of people in Jesus' day called the Pharisees, and they loved following the rules and making up rules in order to try, it seemed to me, to keep people out. And in fact, their tables, their dining tables, they thought of them as little temples. They were really concerned about who was allowed to be seen to be eating with them. So isn't it interesting that the gospel writers make a point of saying this Jesus ate with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners? It tells us a lot about who he included. You see, Jesus pioneered a way for those people to make sure that they knew that they were invited and included in God's kingdom, in his family. So I dare you. I dare you to be bold. I dare you to be bold enough to ask God to give you an opportunity to talk to a friend at school or at work about your faith. I remember the first time I did it. I was on camp at school and we were in this tent and the subject came up about sex. I still can't say it properly. And I knew in that moment that at some point they were going to ask me what I thought. And I wanted to say to them at that point in my life, I wanted to keep myself till I was married. I was so worried that they were going to laugh at me, make fun of me, that they might even beat me up. And the moment came. And with so many nerves, I just said, do you know what? I'm trying to keep that for when I get married one day, when I find that person. And then I kind of flinch waiting for them to start laughing. And they didn't. In fact, they showed great interest. Some of them said, I wish I'd waited. My experience of following this master is that when we do have the boldness to step out for him, he steps out with us. He gives us the words to say. He gives us the faith in the moment when we need it. He gives us the grace. So I dare you. I dare you to move. I dare you to move away from your timidness and look for those opportunities to share. The other thing that I think we see in Jesus as a pioneer is that he tells us that it's about going in a new direction. There's this moment with his apprentices where they've loved being with him for his teaching. They love the fact that he does these incredible miracles, feeding 5,000 people, walking on water, healing people. But then there's this moment, partway through, and certainly in Mark's gospel, partway through their journey, where he tells them where he's going. And he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus reveals to them that if they're going to go his way, it's going to cost them everything. If they're going to go his way, then it leads to a cross. It's at the cross that we surrender everything that we have. It's in the waters of baptism when we get asked that question, will you offer your life in service to God wherever he may lead you to go? And we respond again with nervousness, with God's help, I will. Jesus is all about going in a new direction and leading us in that different direction. Will you follow this pioneer or will you return to your old, well-trodden paths, the habits of your past, the culture that you were raised in? The culture of middle-class Britain, where the biggest goals in life are to belong to the local golf club, go on two holidays a year and have a retreat place in France or whatever. Is that your well-trodden path, or are you genuinely trying to follow your master who's pioneering a way that requires that you lay down your life for the sake of others? I dare you to move. I dare you to lay down your life. And if you do so, Jesus says, you'll actually find life. When I was part of your church community growing up, the pioneering stories that were told to us were of missionaries who, like Gladys Aylward and others, who went to China or India or somewhere like that. I remember reading some months ago, and I believe it to be true, that the next big wave of influence is going to come from the pew. It will be young pioneers. It will be pioneers like you who are currently living where you are, that you're in the social clubs you're in, but you've gone into work in the world of fashion or education or retail or construction, whatever it is, that God wants to pioneer a new way through you into your community, into your workplace, to make a difference there. Friends and Free Church, as we begin this series together, I dare you. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor, and I dare you to move. I dare you to follow this trailblazing pioneer called Jesus into your future, unknown though it is. For your centenary, there was a great book that was written about the history, the story of Frinton Free Church, with a fantastic title: Anchored to the Rock, Geared to the Times. Anchored to the Rock, Geared to the Times. May you be anchored to your Master Jesus. But may you learn how to live your faith out in this moment and in your context. And may you know that Jesus wants to pioneer with you.